Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Welcome to the Digital Jummer. This is Urban Tech Talk with Jim Newsom. Today is a special day because we have a special guest. We have the Afro Geek, the open source software guru, Ken Warwick, is our special guest today. So I'm going to bring on our co-host here, Mr. Jim Newsom, and he's going to introduce our guest for the evening. Hello, Jim.
Good evening, everybody. How are you feeling tonight?
Hey, we're all great.
I'd like to start off by sending out our prayers and well wishes for Dr. Ronald Myers of the Juneteenth National Foundation. He has been ill. He's been in the hospital. And we sincerely pray that he will have health and be back in the running. The brother has been on the forefront for blacks and technology and promoting Juneteenth as a national holiday. He's gotten about 30 states to write state initiatives. He's been doing some great works on the forefront of our community, and we just wish him well. I just want to recognize him before we start.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to welcome on our special guest here today. I'm opening up the line, and you're going to introduce our special guest, Jim?
Yes, my good buddy Ken Warwick out of L.A. This is another brother that's been in the trenches, has been working to reduce the digital divide, working in the school system with educational networks, has developed communication infrastructures here in the Southern California area. He has worked with a group that we all recognize put the post out today, Solution Groove, which has a app infrastructure for building scalable, community-oriented websites for education.
Wow.
All righty. Welcome, Ken. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. That was a very accurate introduction, Jim. I thank you and appreciate this opportunity to spend an hour with you or so.
Brother, it is only a partial community that I couldn't even go down the list. I was looking at your resume today, and you a bad man.
Well, now I hope I'm a good man. I don't know, but maybe in the context of that, I can accept that. I will offer up a little bit of a few more things about myself at this time, if that's appropriate, and feel free to chime in, and hopefully we'll have some callers during the hour, and we can set aside some time for that. I can talk about open source software and education, and primarily in California. I've really decided that California is large enough to be somewhat of a country into itself, and that if we can harness the human potential and resources in California, we will have enough to do just about anything we want to do. So I'm really in the education field because I had some misfortunes in my educational path, I always loved school, even from elementary school and all the way through high school and into college. And I ran into a bit of opposition from people that said that I wasn't doctor material, even though I was pre-med and maintaining, you know, information that, you know, would lead to me becoming a doctor. And so I've dedicated a good portion of my time to the research and development of educational systems. In the early, well, actually when the web started, which was like 1990, I was in Santa Barbara, and I was fortunate to be around the RAIN network, the Regional Access Information Network, which is there in Santa Barbara in the Central Coast. And it was started at UCSB, and is actually thriving. That's where I kind of got my feet wet. And actually, a little before that, my first computer that I actually owned was a TRS-80. If anybody remembers, Radio Shack was the largest computer manufacturer back then. And I traded it for a little IBM computer with this engineer. So that's really when I would say a big part of my Afro-geekdom came about. It was in Santa Barbara. I lived there for 20 years, starting around 81, and moved back to L.A. around 2000. So I'm hailing from Los Angeles these days and have tied in a bit with the LAUSB through my high school, which was Roosevelt High School, which is in Boyle Heights on the east side of town. And my big thing is actually working with the adults.
Okay. Let me real quick, Ken, is it possible maybe you could turn your TV down? Because this competing. Do you have a TV or something on in the background?
Well, you know what? I'm actually just leaving the shop. I got caught in a time crunch, and now I'm actually walking a couple blocks back to my house. I'm multitasking. As I often do. So give me about 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes, and I should be at least in a quiet room. And hopefully that's better, because I just walked out of the shop.
There was something in the background that was competing with your voice. But what we can do for you, so you don't rush too much, get it out of breath, because you gave us a great introduction. I didn't even have to ask the question, because the first question I normally ask is we say, you know, the world wants to know who is Ken Warwick. But you gave us all that good background. You let us connect with you as a person. you brought us into why you are, where you are, you know, what's driving your passion. So what we're going to do, we're going to go, we listen to a little music.
Oh, good.
And then we'll come right back, and we're going to connect right back with you. And we're going to be listening to, this is called Hold It Now by Hezekiah, and it features Petey Crack, Two-Face, Chris, and Mr. Sonny James.
One, two. This ain't for everybody, but it's for you.
Oh, Lord, I see it coming after me. I gotta say I'm having too much fun, and to top it all off,
physics is a matter of physics, and love is a matter of chemistry. Well, I ain't no chemist, ain't no hard feeling. This is business. This is just a snippet of new money, and oh Lord, I'm loving it. The rings and things, only your introduction. I'm sucked in and I'm feeling the repercussion. The more success I get, the more life is at. The more accessible I am to my vices at. The fast broads and I'm so controlled. Now I'm trying to fight these demons off like Black Snake Moan. Top 500 grand, now I'm king of the Nexuses. Lord of the Rings, and I want my precious shit.
People try to fool. Feelings, Lord, I see
being hands on pro on a road, and we wanna let you know.
Everybody, real creative dude. That's Hezekiah, and it's Petey Crack is in there, and Two Face and Chris. And the video is hot. And you can catch the video over at Live Phantom TV, where the Urban Tech Fair has a channel. So for our Tech TV. So yeah. So okay. Yeah, we
well,
like
I'm,
showcase
well,
our indie
sure
artist.
That... Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. So, where do we go from here? What I was thinking about is kind of defining a bit about what open source software guru and Afro geek, you know, people are referring to that.
Well, maybe a good thing to start us off with. Probably everybody gives everyone on even level, just depending on where they are. It's just explain what's open source.
Right, okay. Open source refers to software, and in my case, OSS, open source software. And there's also FLOSS, which is free Libre, which is L-I-B-R-E, open source software, which is even a higher level of open source software, meaning that there's absolutely no proprietary or pay. Any software that's bundled in there that costs any money for anything. Open source software can be mixed with a few little for pay or parts of the software. See, software is comprised of a lot of pieces and oftentimes is modular. And when people package software, they put all these pieces together. So the open source community makes sure that all the pieces are totally free, meaning that you actually own all of the software. You can do anything with it. You can even charge money for it if you want. But it costs you nothing to give it to someone, costs you nothing to use it. You can do whatever you want with it. It's like the sunlight. When you absorb the sunlight, your body does what it needs to do with it, and there's no cost to you for that. So in the reason I'm dealing with open source software is because it just makes a lot of sense to me. I've done a lot with nonprofit organizations, and nonprofits are kind of like the open source of the community compared to the for-profit and the other types of organizations in the community. Even the government has a different type of organization than open source or nonprofit organization. So what I've been working on is building a matrix and a comparison chart for the for-profit software, which most people use. It's the Windows, and most of the stuff in Windows, at least the operating system, there again, maybe going back just a couple of steps here in terms of software and defining a couple of areas of software, which is the operating system, meaning the portion of the software that controls the keyboard and the monitor and the mouse and the hard drive and the memory and controls the CPU, which is an operational. That's why they call it OS, operating system.
Okay.
That controls the hardware. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it makes sense. You're breaking it down.
I think most of us relate to open source in regards to the Linux and Ubuntu software that's been out there. It's gotten a lot of publicity and a lot of exposure. And I know one of the things that that you've been a big proponent of in terms of the black community is being able to create your own networks and your own programs using Linux and Ubuntu. I was really impressed when we met that day and you showed me the OX system, which is
right.
The one laptop per child
right.
Hardware. Cost on that $80 or something?
Right. They started out trying to make it about 100 and it came in around 200 and now it's hovering maybe 150 or so. And it's really kind of a specialty hardware because it's meant to do sensing and to hook different devices to it. You can measure distances. You can it will work in bright sunlight. You know, most displays, if it's in bright sunlight, it doesn't. You can't see it. Well, this one turns into a sharp VGA. Screen, it's color otherwise, but then it's grayscale VGA in bright sunlight. So it's meant to be portable and really mobile, and it also has very low power consumption. I even have like a hand crank for it where I can crank for every minute I crank, I can get like 7 to 10 minutes of battery life. So it's really kind of specialty hardware. So MIT came up with the concept and actually developed it, but the pricing has been coming down steadily, and they were shooting for the $100 mark. And before it's over, they're going to get under the $100, but right now I think it's about $150, $170.
Now, for those of our listeners that want to take a look at it and better understand this international movement, to provide technology in third world countries and to the poor people and in the jungles of South America and the community, the website is That's O-N-E dot laptop, O-N-E dot L-A-P-T-O-P dot org. And you can see what they're doing. Ken has been active in this, and he's really moving it here to South Central. He's been promoting it here in the U.S., and though it was originally developed for third world countries, I hate to say that the U.S. is a third world country when it comes to technology, but that is the truth. And he's been working to create software and applications that are relative to our neighborhood, relative to the hood, relative to education. Now, he's been doing great work in the Los Angeles school system. And, you know, I'm just amazed at the brother. We sit down and debate the fact of why should we be on Facebook and Twitter when we can create our own Facebook and Twitter using open source software like Ubuntu and Linux.
Right. And my big thing is education needs to have some everything. I'm not promoting the or concept. I'm pushing an and. So we can use what we have and actually use other things that we learn about as we go. And that's pretty much what happened to me, starting about 10 years ago, and then heavily about 2005, I converted from Windows completely to Linux and have not really looked back. I mean, there's a few little caveats about things, but for the most part, I have way more applications. Like I was saying, the operating system is the core of what drives the hardware, the keyboard, the mouse, the monitor, anything that is physical hardware. The operating system is a layer that actually allows it to recognize the keys that you hit on the keyboard. It actually does that. And then the applications is the other software, like most people would think of Photoshop. And on the open source, we have GIMP, G-I-M-P. They tend to name things after animals. And just like Chevy did the Impala, which is an animal, most of the open source applications will be named after some sort of animal, bringing kind of a real life character, if you will, you know, to be. And it actually helps create our own software zoo of characters, if you might. The zoo, like you're going to an animal zoo. But GIMP is an equivalent of Photoshop. And that's open source software. And we even have like the Pro Tools. We have Ardour. Since music and art is a big aspect of what actually people will need to use technology for, as well as assistive technology, meaning handicap and the folks that need hardware and software to give them some handle on things that they can't do with their eyes, or they can't hear, or whatever. So what I've done is actually just spend a great deal of time researching, and with the advent of the internet, we have our extended library. We have like an incredible, I think of it like the encyclopedias that folks used to buy as their knowledge base in their house. And we would keep those encyclopedias for a long time, and they would become our reference when we did our homework and if we need. But now we have the internet, which becomes an actual living encyclopedia. And so it's a pretty exciting time, I feel, that we're in, and that we need to at least be knowledgeable of things that exist that we can utilize. And with the economics being what they are, most people, I feel, if they knew they had an option to use a Photoshop-like program, I mean, it's sad that things like Kleenex and whatnot get branded as one thing, but that's just the way it is. So we have
we used to have Open Office, and then who bought that? Oracle bought that. And so now we have LibreOffice, which is the same as Microsoft Office. And these programs fall into the open source software application suite. The LibreOffice is a suite, so it has the writer, which is the word processor. It has calculator, which is the spreadsheet. It has Impress, I-Impress, like you're impressing somebody, the application part of the suite that does the PowerPoint or presentation layer, and it even has a database application for those that know enough to work with and deal with database. So,
and all these applications are freely available online, am I correct?
You're absolutely correct. And plus subsequent updates that come out typically at least once a year, and in some cases every 6 months or so.
So for those people that can't afford to spend $200 or $300 for a Microsoft Office, they can go online and get the open source equivalent of it for free and do the same things in terms of writing, doing spreadsheets, PowerPoint presentations, and the other applications that, whether they be with graphics or music that you just outlined.
Right, and you could actually do more because you could actually give it to somebody else without breaking the law. See, a lot of this comes down to legality. People feel that Photoshop and all these things, well, shoot, I bought my computer, so I can use that, and we get into pirating and doing, sharing stuff that's not ours to share. And so many of us don't necessarily get caught, and I'm not wishing people get caught, but at least know that there are options that you don't have to put yourself in that situation. And this is what I look at in terms of schools primarily promoting proprietary software have been doing us a disinterest, because people tend to use what they know and what they have access to. And if they know Microsoft products, they will work out a way to find access when they're excited about using it or they feel they need to do it. And it could put them in a vicarious position because it's not freely distributable by us. We don't actually own it. We just have a license on one computer, if that, in a lot of cases, to use it. And that doesn't ensure any updates or future enhancements or any of that sort of stuff. So when you break it down, it's about us having access to applications that we can legally do anything we want with. And I might say part of that is that you have all of the programming code that goes along with available to you at the very same time without having to ask anybody. So if you're a programmer and actually get into programming, it's a better environment because you can actually enhance an existing product, and there are some guidelines that say you at least the parts that you got from the open source community, you keep those free, but you can actually add enhancements that allow for you to charge. And typically what I do, and most people, just put it back into the community and charge for your time so that your time becomes valuable, and that's what the exchange is based on, is the amount of time you put in to doing something as opposed to the building blocks that you then can pass through. So I call a lot of this like technology pass through. So as I find technology and I match up what the requirements are that people have or sometimes based on the applications that they're already using, I can then build a little reference chart to the application that will allow people to have a choice of using open source software right in the step. Because especially dealing with adults, like I said, I deal mainly with adults, and adults have a whole thing. We hear pedagogy, but there's andragogy, which is how adults learn. And the biggest difference is adults need to be constructively working on the problems and things that they have to do. The pedagogy could be some exercise and what somebody else did, but typically the andragogy and how adults learn is based on them doing something that they need to do anyway, but say incorporating technology or some other aspect that comes together in this learning environment. So a lot of these principles are just there, and so much of it is about being conscious. I, about 12 years ago, got into heart technology, which I call kind of a human technology. It's like understanding why the heart beats, the physics and of how the heart beat. And an associate that I came across, Dan Winter, who I've remained in touch with all this time, created the heart monitor and then the heart tuner. And he has given me the vernacular for actually understanding the physics that where the heart seven muscles comport to create the actual beat, the heartbeat, which communicates to every cell in our body. So I deal a lot with human tech. So when I say Afro geek, I'm referring to human technology, because the heavy metals and whatnot is like a paradigm of how these computers work. But our chemical technology, which I was a chemist in the pre-med work that I was doing, so I've had that interest, and so that's kind of followed through along with the heartbeat and the actual frequencies that the heart beats on, and how this all ties us together as one.
Now, Ken, you touched on two parts that both got Jackie and myself's ears perked. Jackie has been active in the deaf and the handicapped community in the Philadelphia, and when spoke about how open source can be used for those people with disabilities and handicaps, how it can make life easier for them, I know that she wants to ask some questions about that.
Right. Well, yeah, the handicapped realm warrants very high technology. That's like a no-brainer when it comes down to quality of life and leveling the playing field, and even with our armed forces and all the handicaps that our service people are coming back with. There's been a great deal of research, and open source does play a large role. I mean, you see Microsoft creeping into the car and doing its own little thing. But for the most part, we have a great deal of options in that arena, and it's duly warranted because it does help level the playing field and the quality of life for, handicapped or less fortunate people.
Now Jackie is kind of transposing some of the things that you're saying, doing brief comments both in our chat room and in our book, in our different social media sites as you talk. So can you recommend or tell us a link where some people that do have disabilities might learn more about applications for the handicap that are open source based?
Okay. Some of the big supporters, you had mentioned Ubuntu and Linux. Linux is the actual operating system. Ubuntu is a Debian. Ubuntu, and actually Debian as well. If you just look up handicap, or if you look up assistive technology and put Ubuntu, you will actually come. You'll see forums, and you'll come up. So assistive technology is the terminology that I still believe is used for that. And you put Ubuntu, and Ubuntu, which means unity, it's an African word. And that company, Conoco, who has created the Debian offshoot called Ubuntu, is in South Africa. And that their image is a ring of people, all different colors, holding hands, signifying unity. Technology, Ubuntu, should get you plenty of links, and if you want specific software like Orca is like a screen reader. Orca, like the whale. Remember I tell you they use different animals to name software and whatnot, which is a tie-in to living things, living entities.
Were you aware that Cadillac and the major car manufacturers are now using Linux as the operating system for their in-car displays?
Well, I figured they would. I mean, you think of the economics of it. I mean, yes, I figured I'm not. Actually, at the Linux Expo this year in February, there was a whole car booth there with car technology, the software. This is out at the Hilton, the LAX Hilton. This was like our 10th or 11th Linux Expo. And there was a whole section on cars and the applications in cars. I didn't actually get to go to it. So I'm quasi-aware of it, mainly because of that. It's not something that I've focused very much on lately.
The reason I raise it is because, like you say, with open source software, you can experiment and create enhancements of your own that you can then turn around and market and sell to the
right.
car industry or the medical right. industry or the educational industry.
Right, right. Especially, yeah, because the way it typically works is you help enhance an existing product, which shows your skill. And inevitably, somebody else wants something even slightly different from what you do, so they hire you to enhance the open source part of it so that they have exactly what they need. See, specificity, there's major stuff happening here around context, contextual learning, which actually goes back to our DNA and RNA, and the RNA... If how cells and things replicate, it only touches the outside of the DNA to make the RNA. And I know I'm getting maybe a little bit, this is the human technology that an Afro geek gets into that transcends hardware, because we're talking about humanware. And so context richness and specificity, and then analytics and video are a couple of the other major areas that can enhance what we're able to do today, not only with open source software, but with our lives in relation to one another.
Well, that's why I'm so honored to have you on the show tonight, Ken. Is because, you know, when people think of geeks and technology, they don't think of people of color. And you've been in the game so long and on the forefront in the trenches coming up with new concepts, ideas. I know that you're now working on the virtual 3D servers.
Yes, virtualization, right.
And a lot of people are not used to that and where it's going in terms of learning applications and game applications.
Yeah.
But I don't want to let the time slip by without giving you a chance to talk about your company, your for-profit company, with the software and the applications that you're selling regarding business applications and marketing. I was looking at your website at caltech.com.
Right.
That's caltech.com.
Right.
You want to
is it .com or .net?
It's, there is no doc. The .com is something else, maybe. I don't know. But
.net. It's caltech.net.
Right. And actually, depending on which browser, there's two caltech.net. There's one that's a Moodle site, and then there's another one which is the technology site. So they kind of split up depending on. And I test this all the time. I'll go sit on someone's computer and I'll type in caltech.net. And depending on how their stuff is routed, you can wind up at one of two different sites.
Well,
so
tell us how you make money with open source software and the benefits of using your software for online marketing and emailing and promoting people's business.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I hate to break to stop you guys. But if we can just take a moment for a break, because there's been so much information given. There's been so much information on so much levels. And I do want to just check. I was taking notes as far as assistive technology.
Yeah.
The open source. Now, the operating system is Linux. Is it Ubuntu? UBUTU or UBUNTU? Ubuntu.
Yeah, right. Ubuntu.
Two. Okay. Now, is that also operating system?
That's a Linux operating system that's based on Debian, which is the parent Linux system. See, there's different Linux systems. There's Debian. There's CentOS. There's Red Hat. There's OpenSUSE, there's Slackware, there's Puppy. There's a lot of different, but Ubuntu is a derivative of Debian, meaning the Ubuntu folks start with Debian packages to make their own flavor. And this is part of how you can brand your own operating system, your own application, by starting with open source software, and you can name it anything you want. And like most things, if it gets marketed properly to a specific audience, then it will become the dominant, even though it's based or a derivative of something else that you don't even have to mention for the most part.
Okay. And Orca, how's that spelled?
O-R-C-A. And that's
O-R-C-A. Okay.
Right. And that's
And what is Orca? Is that also an operating system?
No, it's an application that runs on Linux. It runs on Ubuntu has assistive technology distributions, meaning they'll create a whole CD that you can download and install on a computer.
Okay.
And they package it because the packages are pieces. They're modular pieces that do very specific things. If it's the operating system, it's stuff that's handling hardware. If it's an application, then it's like a user interface or a form or what you need to actually create documents and create content. And so you look for assistive technology, Ubuntu, and if you want to put Orca is one of the default ones because of people that are sight impaired needing to have a screen reader. So it'll read the screen, and you hovering over something, it'll read the button and all that sort of stuff to you. So they've done a lot with assistive Orc technology. So Orc is just that one screen reader. And then what you have to be aware of is the actual hardware that you're planning to utilize. The all hardware is not the same. So when they make these packages, they make it for specific models or specific grades of hardware, whether it's 386 or 64-bit or 32-bit. And so oftentimes, you know, they make a generic one, too, that does both of them.
Okay. All righty. Now, so what we're going to do, we're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we'll have like 10 minutes. And there we want you to tell us about your business, give us all the contact information, make sure we have the website so everyone can follow up with you. And we've been had a caller on the line since the start. We had a caller from the 424. They didn't say that they wanted to speak, but thank you. And all the people in the chat room, we've had a few people in the chat room. And then there are people that are listening from other sites. So to everybody, you know, thank you for listening in. And we are going to, this time we're going to listen to, this is another indie artist, Why You Raggin'? It's Desi DiLario. And it's called Why You Raggin'?
Done good for you, always honest and true. You take advantage of my best friend, got a back door of us to spend. Walk around with your nose up high, you're just that type of guy. You just take, 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 and take. You're making a big mistake. Why'd you make up the lies? All she did for you was try. She's hurt, but you just don't care. It's so unfair. You better get out my face.
Out of my face.
Wrong bone comes back to you. Kicking yes, long overdue. You played her like a deck of cards. You be the one to disregard. Still keep flapping your lips. You disrespecting my sis. Ooh, how could you call yourself a good friend? When you play the
Okay, we just got finished listening to Why You Raggin' by Desi Delario. And we are back with the digital drummer, Urban Tech Talk with Jim Newson. The special guest is Ken Warwick, Afro geek and self-proclaimed open source software guru. So we're going to learn a little bit more about Ken's company, is this Solutions Groove, and whatever else more he wants to share with us. And we're going to learn about the company and the benefits of doing business with Ken. So enlighten us, sir.
Wow. Okay. That was a good groove. I like that song. And I see that's pretty standard format for talk radio shows. I only have one for-profit company called Tutortronics, which is partnered with Solution Grove in the past, going after like a county, a contract here, and the LAUSD facilities contact. With Solution Grove, the heart of our system is the Open ACS, which is a company that evolved initially out of when I was in Santa Barbara. I worked for NAVA Press, which created the NAVA Press software, and it was one of the first browser-based management systems that did, you know, business and had a modular packaging system. And just kind of bear with me on some of that terminology. It's nothing that you have to know, but it's kind of the vernacular that describes what it is, and you may see it. And so Solution Grove, AOL purchased them and named it the AOL server. So that's what is particular about the work I do with Solution Grove, who we partnered with around 2000, 2001, I think, initially. Actually, it was a little bit later than that. It was about 2004. But I've been using this software, which Philip Greenspun out of MIT was hired by AOL to create the packaging of it into a full-on application system. And of late, last year and a half, a German company, Project Open, has created some packages for the financial and the HR, which is human resources, and what we call it ERP software, Enterprise Resource Planning, which is fairly high-powered management centered around projects for large companies. It'll handle from 3,000 to 3,000 employees, and works in government and these large companies. So it was designed with the open source existing software and adding functionality that large corporations and governments can use to manage the resources based on projects and HR and that sort of stuff. So Tutortronics, I've been been working with Dr. Beatty, who has a mobile science lab where he goes into the juvenile facilities and brings science to the schools inside our institutions, mainly here in Los Angeles. And so the founder, my partner, Candy Tanamachi, has been working with them as part of Tutortronics. We also do inspection work on housing. I've worked on a historical, the Annenberg down for the city of Santa Monica. We do a number of consulting type things for the for-profit, and typically incorporate open source software, so it's mainly our time on those projects. And then the nonprofit is the CaltechNet, which was actually developed in 97 to work with the CTC nets, primarily in California, the Community Technology Centers Network. And I was on the founding board for the national CTC net corporation, nonprofit, that was the leading source of digital divide. We influenced the housing department. We've done a number of things. And as of a couple of years ago, the Microsoft kind of came in and became the primary sponsor and then basically dissolved it and created N10 and a couple of other organizations. But CaltechNet is still kind of holding the torch and starting to work again with the... There was over 200 CTC nets in California, over 30 Boys and Girls Club, and it was the broadest association, broadest types of organizations tied together through a common purpose of working the digital divide, leveling the playing field, bringing technology to those that wouldn't otherwise have access to technology. And so that's still the mission of CaltechNet. And so that's the CaltechNet nonprofit side, which is now a project of the Quantum CDC, which is the Community Development Corporation in Inglewood. So as of last year, the CaltechNet is now a project of the Quantum CDC out of Inglewood. Donica Cook is the director and CEO there. We've also been working with Brad Carson, a probation officer and community rep for the Los Angeles Probation Department. We've been working with him over a year and a half working on their day reporting center, which is a daily reporting center for ex-offenders and those on probation, where they provide education and other. What he's asked me to do is to put together an entrepreneurial program and a financial literacy program, which I have done. And we're basically kind of going through the bureaucratic process and whatnot to implement those two components. Actually, in conjunction with Father Time, there's a whole Father Time network that's really focusing on helping fathers be all that they can be and help that. So that is a bit of the Tutortronics for-profit, and the nonprofit has a lot to do with the actual community organizing and bringing what I call technology pass-through to community organizations and educational institutions like LAUSD. So that's pretty much, I mean, there's a lot of other aspects to what I do, like the whole energy STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. I'm on a major list of those folks with Dr. Conrad at Pasadena City College, and with Bonnie Gray at UC. So there's a lot kind of going on in terms of the mainly the nonprofit, and then the for-profit is we fit that in where we have someone that is into consulting.
Okay, Ken, we are starting to lose you a little bit, but also we've stopped streaming live. I did put in the chat room, if you want to call in, it's 646-716-7994. You can still listen in. We're still recording, but we're just no longer streaming live. Okay. So well, I just want to know if you can let us know, how can we get back in touch with you?
Email is typically the easiest, the kmw@caltech.net. And if you go to caltech.net, I don't really have a lot of contact information there, but the email, in fact, typing in my email in Google, you'll come up with a page or so of links to things that are relevant to what I'm doing and that sort of thing.
We did post the websites in the chat room. All the websites are posted a description
That's
about
fine.
Them.
Yeah.
So everybody can get there.
It's not really that big a deal to me. I'm doing what I do because of the need. And, you know, and if people need to get a hold of me, you know, they'll know how to contact me.
Okay. Now, Ken, they want to know, in the chat room, they want to know if you're on Facebook.
I have a page on Facebook, but I don't log into Facebook much. I'm so busy doing my site that, you know, and Facebook kind of is an infringement of privacy to some degree. And I don't do, they can get Jim on Facebook, and Jim communicates with me, and Skype is something that I use for meetings once in a while, but I'm not a heavy user of Facebook.
Okay. Well, we're going to close out because somebody said they tried to call in, but,
because
you know,
they
said that
connect,
the show is no longer, they say that
right.
The show is over when people
right,
call.
Right.
It's
well,
still being recorded, though. Now, they wanted to know, are you on Twitter or Tumblr?
I don't.
Somebody
I,
wants to speak with you.
Well, Skype would be the best if they don't want to talk on the phone or email me.
And what's your Skype?
My Skype is STDO. No, it's not. It's CaltechNet. My AIM is STDO29, but Skype is CaltechNet at Skype.
Okay, so CaltechNet?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, Ken, you mentioned
yep.
Dr. Bailey.
Right.
And what he's doing with, how you're working with him with the
Mobile Science Lab.
Right. So, I got to give a plug to the Urban Tech Fair, and Dr. Bailey's been working with us. So, for those that want to learn more about the Mobile Science Lab and the educational programs that he's doing, his URL is www.msl-la.com. That's www.msl-la.com, or they can look him up under Facebook, Dr. Michael Bailey.
Right.
Okay.
He also has surf stations that he is one of his other business that he helped. He's provided computers for us in the school.
Yeah, we featured him on the show. That is one of his links too, James. Jim.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, this has been a fabulous show. It is.
Well,
go ahead, Ken.
Well, thank you for hosting it. I mean, it wouldn't happen without you.
Well, you've been a great guest. This has been really good. So, we are going now. We had a caller from the 424. Would you happen to like to say, you know, say something before we leave? Would you like to introduce yourself? Caller from the 424.
This is Andrew Williams Jr.
Hey, how are you, sir?
At least fantastic. Thanks, and yourself?
All righty. So, did you enjoy our guest today? You have any words for our guest?
Just hello, Kenneth, and I'm very pleased to hear you, and I was excited about all the open source information, and I think everyone will benefit from it. Thank you so much, Jackie and Jim, for hosting him.
Okay. All righty. Andrew is part of our national team for the Urban Tech Fair, and he's also on the West Side with you guys.
Right.
So we want to thank everyone for who called in. We want to thank you, Ken, for just you know, being who you are, being passionate and sharing and being one of the people that helps, you know, make a better community and a better world. You know, I'm just going to say this, you know, for Master Griot Radio, we say peace and love. Yeah. Jim, you give us a closing, and then Ken, after Jim. Ken, yeah. You have 30 seconds and the whole world listening.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, you know, the Urban Tech Fair is about showcasing going on technology in our own backyard. The ideas, new ideas, innovation are so synonymous with Silicon Valley. So we'd like to say that those ideas, that innovation is accessible in our own community. And Ken is a prime example of blacks in technology that are doing great, innovative, unique things that people never hear about. And that's what we at the Urban Tech Fair want to showcase. And Ken, keep doing it. Keep doing the .com thing. We love you, brother. Thank you for being supportive and a part of the show.
You are so welcome. I want to say thank you for making this happen and being a catalyst for us getting together and having this time. A lot of what drives me is the actual passion around communications and the Wi-Fi and the Manchester One and the LA Wi-Fi project is something that I'm definitely spending some time in and looking at how government can incorporate much more at the local level with citizen participation to the churches and through us coming together on as many fronts as exist. And it's really an and. I'm not wanting people to give up what they have, but just know that there's some options that you may want to take advantage of as time goes on. And so thank you, love, peace, joy, happiness, and more money.
More money. Alrighty, we're going to say goodnight and we're going to roll out with Inside These Walls, and that's by Plunky.
Where we can